Anita, how's your mental health?
Questionable at all times, you know this.
Yeah, how's the mental health of your children?
Also a little bit tricky. Can I tell you my experience in trying to find therapists for myself and my kids, Mel?
Yes, please.
Okay, this is how it goes. You ask around your friends and your family for a referral for somebody who's nearby. You finally find somebody who sounds like they might work for your family. You give them a call and you find out that A, they're not accepting new patients, or B, they have a huge wait list. So you start over again and you ask people if they know anybody who would be a good therapist and a good fit. Finally, you find one, you go and you meet with them, and you figure out that you don't actually like them that much. But it's been so much work to find somebody who you can go to in your area that you're kind of stuck with them. Well, do you have any ideas for how to get around this?
I do because guess what? I've actually had some therapists that I have found on my own, which involves what you're saying. Sometimes I remember one time I was like 3 hours in the bathtub on my phone looking through websites. I was such a prune at the end. But I have also had the experience with working with BetterHelp, and it was like I don't want to say too good to be true, but because it is true, but it's like amazing because I was matched with my therapist within 24 hours.
And you didn't have to go through all of that other ridiculous process of trying to find somebody. And here's the cool thing, too, is if that person didn't work out for you, you can just switch and say, and it's not like you're committing to another years long search for somebody who you're going to jive with.
That's true. And I lucked out, or maybe just BetterHelp is really good at matching people together because I never had to change my therapist. I loved her, perfect fit for me. And I know that some of our friends have used BetterHelp and they've had to change therapists, and boom, same day, you can change.
Easy
You can ghost your therapist, get a
peasy.
new one.
I love this idea. BetterHelp is one of our sponsors. If you use our promo code trybetterhelp.com/WWDN, you get 10% off your first month, and we totally recommend it.
Yes, get some therapy. That's
Ha.
trybetterhelp.com/WWDN. Guess what, Anita?
Please tell me.
Did you know 6 years ago today, Scott died? I became a widow this day 6 years ago.
Wild. Does it feel like it's been 6 years?
Yeah, and then it feels like it's never happened, and then it feels like it's all that's happened.
That was like such a good encapsulation of it in a few words. Does the day still hold a lot of terrible, like internal body feelings, or is it less acute these days?
I
Six
would
years after.
say starting last year, I didn't have like any feelings about it. I'm like, oh, that happened. But I don't have any trauma related feelings from that day associated with the day. Like it's November
'Cause there
6th.
was no lead up.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't even have, the first several years, it's like, oh, it's that time of year. My body's
Oh, yeah.
recognizing it's this time of year. Did I don't have that anymore.
That's what I was wondering more. Like,
Yeah.
if you start to feel like, oh, that sense of dread, and without even like a name to it, yeah, but that's getting less or gone.
I mean, it could be like 15 years out and maybe I'll have it happen. I don't know. I think I've been trying to claw my way out so much and keeping myself busy doing new activities like skating and meeting friends that I think I've now had so many different experiences at that time of year now that it's not just like, oh, the most recent thing was this, and then coping from that. So, yeah, that's what I'm gonna say at year six. But year 8 could be different, or year 10. Who knows?
You reserve the right to have a new experience in the future.
Yeah, but I have to say, I'm in a way, how when you're in widowhood, you're like, this will have affected my life forever, which is true. It never will not have happened. But I think I was glad that I had those feelings of lead up because it was kind of a way to stay tied to all of it, In the best way, in the way that I'm like, I'm thinking of Scott, I'm honoring Scott. Yeah, we did have something that was real. And maybe there was a little bit of Well, I don't want to lose that because it might mean I forgot him. But now as I'm going through it, I'm like, I've not forgotten him. I'm just shifting in ways that I'm honoring him and really like honoring myself. I know someone that maybe hasn't gone through this stuff is like, that sounds selfish, but I mean, we're in this situation. It's up to you to claw your way out. And I'm like, oh, that's like a testament to me and what I've put in as far as work and trying to go through this stuff. And yeah, it's about Scott, but like, I'm the one that's left here and have to survive and try and get to a place where I feel like I'm creating a new life that is good for me.
Yeah.
So I'm okay with it.
I think that's all great, Mel.
Yeah.
It's growth that we didn't ask for, but you just got to do it. You don't really have a choice in the matter. So you can either do it the best you can, or you can just do it mediocre, which sometimes I think mediocre is also fine.
Yeah. And I think, I don't feel like I need to go do a big sort of, what's the word, ritual to signify the day. I just am going to go through the day and do my normal thing. And then maybe little things, if I think about it, you know, like, oh, I'll think of Scott, but I don't feel like I want to go do anything big about it. I'm okay with that.
You don't want to have a hashtag for it?
Nah. I feel like I kind of ended that at 5 years. I'm like, that's good. That's a good amount of time.
Interesting. No,
here we are.
Thanks for sharing.
Yeah.
Guess what else has happened in the last little while that we forgot?
Halloween?
Well, that happened. That was fun. We've been podcasting now, Mel, for 4 years.
No, it's not. Four?
Yes.
What? Wait.
We started in 2019.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. This podcast has been alive for 4 years. Can you believe that?
Happy birthday, podcast.
Man, can you even put yourself back 4 years ago and imagine what it would have turned into?
No.
Yeah, me neither.
I was like, I know we had recorded a couple episodes and then I moved to New York. So I was in this space of kind of, what's going on? Holy smokes.
Yeah.
How are you feeling about that?
I'm just grateful. I just think of all of the amazing people we've been able to meet and interview and get to know and learn from. Like, there's so much collective wisdom that happens and everybody has such a different experience. But I just love all of our listeners. I'm so grateful to them. So thank you for making it possible and for tuning in and listening to our crazy stories and giving support to our guests and to us. It's been a great ride.
You know, it reminds me of, I think I've talked about this before, like concerts for musicians. The best scenario is when the people on stage doing the show feel connected with each other on stage and with the audience.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's kind of this podcast too. Not that we're like, I am a performer.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? It's like we're interviewing people or talking about topics with each other. And then without everybody that's listening, that's also going through similar things, it wouldn't be what it is. And so I think that's a really beautiful thing. And I know that some people might think, oh, how long are they going to go with this widow shtick? First of all, not a shtick. You can go like quack yourselves, whatever. But it doesn't, just because something has to deal with death and bereavement doesn't mean that that keeps you in a dark place at all. Mm-hmm. It's like, look at the experts we've been able to talk to and people have been able to listen to. And I know in my life, that's helped me to be able to help others going through similar things, or maybe even just something hard, like not a death, but something where it's like, well, they're clearly experiencing grief or loss about whatever the situation is. Is it death? No. Is it a death of maybe something they thought? Yeah, I can relate with that. And then some of the resources are helpful for all people. And then the experiences of our friends, our widow friends, it's just like, that is like testament after testament that it's like, you can live, you can keep going, you can be decimated and you can still keep going. So I just love what it provides. I mean, yeah, it's effort for us to put it out, you know, and we really appreciate everybody who has financially supported us and just like, mm-hmm. encouraged us to do that. Our whole goal has just been to help everybody else that's like us. And so we're just, I mean, I have a lot of gratitude for everybody that's been supportive and so glad that it's helping people. You know, when we first started, we're just like, even if this helps one or two people that are like us, that to not help some, helps them not to feel alone, like it's worth it. So thank you, everybody. Wow. Yes.
Yeah, we also joke a lot that we're never going to be a true crime podcast in numbers. You know, we're never going to have millions and billions of people downloading because there's just not a huge number of widows. I mean, there are, but
I mean, hopefully not.
It's a smaller group than people who like true crime. So, you know, our audience is always going to be smaller. And in a way, that's kind of cool because I feel like there's a little bit more connection and we get to tailor that a little bit more to the people that we're trying to touch. So. Happy birthday to us. Thank you. And hopefully it will be several more happy birthdays to come.
We are 4 years old.
4-year-olds are crazy.
They
I
are.
Heard the best quote. It was, they're just 2-year-olds with 2 years of experience.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
What's happened with you? Anything exciting?
We had Halloween. It was like herding cats. I didn't know where anybody was and that was fine. So I was just like, come home sometime. Thanks so much. So
peace be with you.
My 13-year-old came back with so much candy. I was like, where were you? I don't know. Like, luckily we live in a fairly safe community and he was with all of his friends. So I wasn't worried about him, but it's just a funny thing. That's how I was when I was like younger, as much candy as I could get. That's all that mattered. And then my personal philosophy on candy on Instagram and TikTok, it's all about, you know, the switch witch, or you get 5 pieces of candy and then we're going to donate the rest to a charity. I'm like, okay, listen, y'all, get all your candy out today. This day, we're eating all of this candy.
Oh, like gosh.
As much as you want. Yeah. I just want them to eat it all, barf their guts out, and then we can be done with it.
So, idea.
Yeah.
Eat all the candy, send them to a bounce house.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And let them just go. Our school district was brilliant because they planned a teacher prep day for the day after Halloween. So we slept in. We had candy for breakfast, candy for lunch.
Fried candy.
Scrambled. A snack. Candy. And then we had candy for dinner. It was great.
Wow. I would die from blood sugar issues, but I'm glad you are here.
Well, I wasn't eating it like that. They're young and their pancreas are still fully functional. So,
but you love candy, so you
know.
Eat
but
candy
do you stuff. Know what November is?
Candy month?
No, it's no sugar November. Remember how I've been doing that forever?
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. So.
Okay. Cool.
Is it the hangouts? Should it be this week? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Something else, Mel. It's our Facebook hangouts this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
But there's been a hiccup in the system.
Ugh.
Facebook has announced that it's discontinuing their rooms.
Oh.
So we can hold it this Saturday and then we're going to have to figure out something else. So stay tuned.
12 p.m. Mountain Time and 6 p.m. Mountain Time. Be there. Hopefully we can figure out how to get it started. If anybody would like to facilitate future hangs, please let us know. We need help.
Yes, we do. Okay.
I would like to dedicate this episode to Scott Montgomery, Scott Ponder, and Chad Brackman. We all have some November 6th and November 10th stuff. So, yeah. And Melissa. So you guys coming up, strap on your best overalls. And what are the suspenders? Socks?
I thought you were going to tell us we needed to get an adult depends on because it's a wild one.
Yep. Get a weighted blanket. Actually, it's really, really good. We really love Melissa. She is the best. And here's part two. But before we get to that, please join our Patreon so we can keep this going for year 4+.
Mm-hmm.
Patreon.com/WWDN.
Correct. And if you want to buy us tacos, go to buymeacoffee.com/widowwedonow.
Give us a 5-star rating and review. A good one. Even if it's silly, just be like, you guys are the best. I love snacks. 5 stars. That's great too.
Please, somebody post that exact review, because then we'll know you're listening. Yeah. All right, let's do it. I'm Anita.
I'm Mel.
We're two young widows. A lot of sugar here. I'm just trying to figure out widow.
Whee!
Do.
No. You guys. You don't even know what's going to happen, and neither do we.
But can we just have a throwback for a minute, Mel? The year was 2020. I was sitting on my floor in my bedroom on my laptop recording one of our first interviews ever. And I did not know what I was in for. And by the time we were done, my ears were smoking. My mind was blown. This was Melissa Ponder Brackman's episode.
Episode 38. So if you have not listened to it, stop right now. Go listen to it. You have to. Just trust us.
Yes.
Then come back.
So meanwhile, we generally just do like little update episode blurbs with lots of people. But in this case, we needed a full episode to do an update. And because a lot's happened, right? So hi, Melissa. Welcome back.
Hello. Happy to be here.
Let's talk about where we left off with you. Where were you in 2020? What was going on in your life?
Happily married and just kind of navigating a bunch of the things going on with our kids. We had, you know, one in college, one doing dumb things like they do. I had one in junior high, one in high school. I don't know. We were living a very normal, well, whatever normal is for me. We were living as normally as we possibly could. Chad was starting to get, even though he was a lieutenant with the sheriff's department, he was starting to get more into his architecture business. And so he was also building a bunch of homes and just very busy. We were very busy. The best I can say, of teaching school, just living.
From the outside, it would look like you were living a perfectly normal life. And to those who need just a little like spark of your memory to remember Melissa's story, you're married, divorced.
Yep.
Married, your husband was murdered along with his mom and
by a serial killer.
Yes.
Took how many years? 15, 18,
13.
13 years. They caught the guy. You were a suspect at one point in time.
Correct.
Your baby was not your baby. Oh my gosh.
Right. Or so they thought. Right. Yes.
Then you got married again and divorced. And then finally you found and married Chad. That was like the in 5 seconds. Was the story.
Yes, that was the happily ever after version, or so I thought.
Yeah. Okay. So let's start there and tell us what life is, where it's taken you again.
So coming up on 2 years next month, just another normal day where Chad got up and went to work and I got up and went to the school teaching, and about 11 o'clock, I got called. I had just dropped my students off in the lunchroom, and there was an intercom announcement over the whole school they were looking for me, needed me to come to the office. And so I got to the office, and the principal led me right into his office and said, "You need to pick up the phone." And it was Chad, who's my husband, it was his daughter, on the phone telling me that they needed all of us to get to Scottsdale Osborne Hospital in Scottsdale, which I knew right away, that's a trauma hospital. And so that Chad had been in a wreck. And so I said, okay. Again, you guys, not thinking anything. Just he had got in a wreck, you know, like he had gotten in a wreck. And so, because let's be honest, the last thing that's ever going to go through my mind is I'm going to lose again. Like that never went through my mind. So that 40-minute drive, which the secretary of the school drove me there, she Yeah. And the whole way I just kept saying to her, there's no way I would go through this again. There's no way. And I'm like, God would not have me endure something like this again. Not possible. And so we kept saying that the whole way, the whole way. And boy, did I have some flashbacks, because when I drove up to that hospital, it's completely blocked off with law enforcement. That is exactly how I drove up to Scott's scene as well. There's just law enforcement everywhere. And so I got to the hospital. They made us identify ourselves. And the secretary said, this is Chad Brackman's wife. He was allegedly in a wreck. And so they said, yes, yes, come on in, park. Well, then the sheriff was there, Maricopa County Sheriff. This is like the second largest sheriff's department in the country. So the sheriff is already there. There's public relations people there. I'm the type of person is I just don't let my brain go there. Like I didn't the first time, and I wasn't going to do it again. And so I went into the waiting room, and people are, you know, how are you? And I'm like, I'm okay-ish. I don't know. Again, and I had already, like I said, I had already done like where I was sat for like 2.5 hours waiting for somebody to tell me what was going on. And so they took me to this like family counseling room, and people started funneling in, victims advocates again, just people. And then I called friends on the way there and just said, hey, Chad was in a really bad wreck. I'm on my way to Scottsdale Osborne. Can you guys meet me? You guys meet me there. And so my friends started meeting me there. And this time I didn't have to wait as long. It was about 45 minutes that I had gotten there. And the ER surgeon came in and asked, you know, just asked to talk to me and if it was okay to speak, you know, freely in the room. And I said yes. And by that time, Chad's ex-wife was there, his kids, the ex-mother-in-law, like everybody was there. My sister was there, just all kinds of people. There's probably like 25 people in that room. So she said, you know, Chad was in a really bad accident today. He was standing outside, and it appears that he was hit by a car. And then she said, we jump started him a couple of times, and we tried really, really hard, and we couldn't save him. It's just not anything after doing this once, like in such a tragic way. And to be honest with you, sitting here talking to you guys, I still cannot believe this. I can't. It's like, am I even worthy of having any type of happily ever after? Am I cursed? Like, what is the deal? Because I felt like I finally got it right. Like, I met him. We went through the hard stuff, not with each other, but you know, just with other things like ex-wife and kids doing dumb things. And just like we had the real stuff that married couples go through. When I lost Scott, we were still living like this little honeymoon fairy tale phase. And so, you know, I lost him right in the middle of that. But for 7 years, I mean, I had settled into what my life was, and it was never going to be any different. And I was deliriously happy. And here I am again, sitting with victims' advocates again, and the sheriff again, and just, I don't know, it just, I, it will be 2 years on November 10th.
So the other day, I had this thought. My kids were watching the movie Free Guy. Have you ever seen that movie? This is so random.
Yes.
But like, the guy is in a video game, but he doesn't know he's in a video game. And I was
right.
Like, what if we're all in a video game and we think we're humans, but we're not?
That's been my theory for years. I subscribe.
Whoever is in charge of your life, Melissa, is a jerk.
They hate me.
Oh, it's a kid in a garage somewhere.
It's just so crazy.
You guys. Like, I cannot believe, and here I am at the tail end. I mean, of finishing my book finally. Like, I finally get to this point where I, you guys, this is going to happen. I'm going to finish this. And right. I mean, I would say like in the last quarter of this book, Chad's killed. And it's like, so I mean, I called the publisher and just, they said, don't even put that down. Don't even think about that, which of course I did. I mean, I, yeah, of course I, because I'm speechless. And so again, went through a very high profile public service that was, all over the news. He was a very decorated law enforcement officer. He had been with Maricopa County Sheriff's Office for 22 years. And again, as a lieutenant, very well liked, had received numerous awards, and served in a bunch of different capacities within the sheriff's office. And so it was, I mean, I wish I could just, the pomp and circumstance that associated, I mean, that was a part of his funeral was unlike anything I've ever seen. It was absolutely beautiful. The saddest, most beautiful thing ever.
So I think it's really interesting because it's almost like you've been on two sides of the coin too, because when Scott was killed, there was a lot of like, did she do it? Like almost like adversarial towards the law enforcement. And then this time they like pick you up on their shoulders and they, you know, three cheers for Melissa.
It's you know what, that no truer statement than that, because yes, that first time around, I had no idea what they were even thinking about me. In fact, I was clueless that they were even thinking the thoughts they were thinking about me. But this time around, I had a sheriff's deputy in front of my house from the moment he died until the day we buried him, just standing guard there so that people wouldn't, you know, bother us that shouldn't be there. I had people checking in all the time. They were kind of, I didn't do any news interviews until actually after he was buried. I just didn't want to. But the way that they presented this entire thing, it just was beautiful. I mean, we had to hold it in the largest LDS church we could in my area because there just wasn't going to be enough room. And they shut down the freeways from the church and the 30-minute drive over to the cemetery where I had him buried. And you guys, it was the sweetest thing. I had little kids standing on the side of the road, waving their flags with their hand over their heart. And I just, probably one of the most sad but most beautiful things I've ever seen. It just was, yeah.
I know the people listening that know your story that are widows are thinking, no, not again. Nobody can survive that. And then maybe people who are in a little different place are thinking, oh, well, she's been through it once, so maybe she has some sort of tools to get through this part again. Obviously, all of us were completely devastated for you and can't imagine how horrible that is. Can you speak to that? Tell us, what is it like going through that when you've been through it already, even though it's a different person, different time?
Well, just the way you brought up, I was painted in a different light this time around. And I wasn't pregnant, thankfully. I had a lot of, I was around my family and a lot of family support and friends were, I mean, right there that day. I had a lot of people, I feel like, holding me up. I definitely showed more emotion this time around. That first time around, there were cameras like in my face all the time. And I was not wanting, I just didn't want to show all this emotion in front of people I didn't know. And, you know, yes, I feel like on one hand, I know the drill. How sad. I know the drill here. Like I just lost somebody tragically. And not the, okay, let me say my final goodbyes, you know, to my spouse as they're dying of cancer, and which is no less hurtful. That's horrible too. But now twice I've had men that I was absolutely in love with, that I thought I was in a stable forever marriage with. I've had them taken from me with no notice, not being able to say goodbye, not being able to plan anything out, not. And so, yes, I did know the drill. And, you know, I will tell you this, right away, there was a room full of sheriff's deputies and men that he had worked with that were in another room across the hall from me. And I was told they were there. And so I pulled myself together and I walked over to that room and I saw them all there. I mean, these are men bawling, you know, crying. And I told them that, you know, I was so grateful that Chad had a place that he went to every day that he loved. He loved putting on that uniform. It was always pressed to perfection. He was always so put together and he took so much pride going to that job. And so I just reminded them that they were the biggest part of that reason, you know, that they all came up and hugged me and were like, I don't know how you're doing this. I'm like, but I will tell you guys what the kicker was for me that day, because I did not have to go through this the time before. This will make me cry. My kids being brought to the hospital, and they weren't there when they had told me, but they had gotten there right after. And just to see my grown boys completely just broken up. I mean, my son Scotty, the one I was pregnant with when his dad was murdered, he does not show a lot of emotion. He does not cry like this. And he was a mess. And so these are all some new things that I've had to go through this time around that I didn't have kids to deal with that had grown close to somebody that they loved. And you guys, and my ex-husband, my son's dad there in the hallway bawling. I mean, Chad and him were good friends. Just so as far as like holding it together, I feel like I put on my, as best as I can say this, my big girl panties and said, okay, another public funeral. We have to get through this. I want it to be, you know, the most beautiful thing for the most beautiful man and well-deserving. And so we got through all of it, but I'm going to be honest with you guys. It's been in the last year and a half-ish, year-ish, year and a half that it's hit. The stuff has hit. And I am dealing with it in a way that I'm super open about, and I share it with whoever wants to talk about it and whoever wants. I mean, I finally, after all this trauma, all these years, am now doing EMDR therapy.
Sometimes we assume that unless we had a huge life insurance payout, we don't really need to know anything about investments or even finances. But guess what? A little knowledge of finances is critical for all of us. Maybe your partner was in charge of that stuff, and now you find yourself making all the decisions. Maybe you're mad about that. Maybe I am. Nicole from the He's Gone But the Money's Not podcast is here to help. She tackles financial literacy by telling the stories of women and widows and finance experts and shares the lessons they've learned as certified financial planners. Whether you know a lot and feel confident in your financial decisions or feel unsure about all of that stuff, there is more to learn. Listen and subscribe to the He's Gone But the Money's Not podcast on all podcast platforms. This ad was paid for by Rockhouse Financial, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
Good. How is that going?
It's life-changing. I'm not going to lie. And, you know, to add on to this very crazy story of mine, one of the reasons that I decided I really, really need to do this is because I unexpectedly met another widow last year, a year ago, and we both bonded and fell in love.
Wait a second.
Okay, wait, who was?
Wait a second.
Yeah, I know. Can I just, I mean, let me back up by saying this first.
Okay.
I emotionally cut every part of me off. Like, I had no desire. In fact, I told everybody, don't even think about it. Don't even picture my face when you meet some nut. Don't do it, because there's no way possible. Ain't gonna happen. Not happening. No. And here I am.
So tell us, who is this person? How did you meet? What's the deal? How did that break up shell?
Yeah. So over the years, I've been asked to go speak at different things where I just share my story. Well, my story got a little more interesting over the last 2 years. I mean, more dramatic, if it could ever be more dramatic, but it did. And so I just got asked to go speak at a conference where there's tons of widows and widowers. And I'm going to give you the honest to goodness story, because this is not me. It's so not me. I was supposed to speak before Chad died, and then COVID kind of pushed it back. And so she had called me the December after Chad died in November and said, I'm just checking in to make sure that, you know, you're still open to speaking next September. And so I had to tell the lady, I just lost another husband. And she's like, you have got, like, who says this stuff?
Like, just lost another one.
Tragically.
Was it like, dun, 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 another one bites the dust?
Yes, yes. Anybody with me, I'm sure, feels that way. Yeah, yeah, serious. So she calls me, I tell her this, she's like, this is not happened. I'm like, yeah, it happened. And so I told her, why don't you call me in the summer? See how I'm doing. See how I'm feeling. Let's just, you know, we'll play it by ear there, because I was slated to be their keynote speaker. Like, I was wrapping this whole widows conference up. And so I just said, yes, call me in the summer. So we reconvened in the summer, and I told her, you know what? I'm still pretty fragile, but at the same time, I think this is going to do me a lot of good. It really is. It's going to have me focusing again on all of the things I'm grateful for and blessed with. And that is where I walked into this conference. And again, this is not the place I go and looking. I'm just going to tell you right now, hell no. Nope. No. And so I was there with two of my widow friends from Arizona, who this was in Idaho. I walked in, and I'm just going to lay it out exactly how this went down, you guys. There's the most beautiful specimen of a Polynesian guy sitting in, and I was like, oh my gosh, he is really cute, but who cares? Cause I don't feel anything, and who cares? So during this, you know, little, I sat behind him, and I'm not going to lie, I kept looking at his arms, and they're pretty built. And I was just like, dang. And then I thought, what am I? Stop, 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 stop. So I kind of put that out of my head. Like, I'm not here for this. So did my thing. I gave my keynote, you know, went through my speaking engagement and went home without talking to this person, and I could not, I don't know what it was, but there was just something very, about him that I knew just from overhearing something that he had said to somebody else. He was at the very same time frame as I was. So he had lost his wife 2 weeks after I lost Chad. So more than anything, I just thought, you know, it would be really interesting to talk to him, as far as we are at the very same I mean, in this grief process, we're right there at the same time. And I did something I've never done in my life. I friend requested somebody I don't know, and I slid into his DMs. I did it. I've never done this before. Now, you guys need to know, I had people slide into my DMs daily. Random crazy stuff. People that I don't know, that I don't usually respond to. And it's just because, like, they will have seen one of the crime show episodes that I did. And so I get these random people from, like, Europe and other states. And so me doing that is so not, it's way out of the ordinary. I don't do this. I just don't.
So what did you say? Were you like, hey, want to go hang out?
Hey, want to flex?
I like your arms.
Let's talk about our dead people and flex.
For real? No, it was kind of something like, no, I didn't say that. What I said was, I wanted to meet you, but I didn't. And I wished I had. And I wanted to talk to you and I didn't get the chance. And it was kind of like that.
Okay. Yeah. I feel like our listeners, some of them have got to be thinking about this. Okay. Like, we've had one me, I've had one marriage and one right. person die.
Yes.
And I've met nobody in 5 years that had beautiful arms that sparked my interest, oh. you know, like, and I know that there's a lot of people in our group who've been widowed for like decades and never met another person that they
right.
could, or never had the opportunity
right.
to repartner. And I'm like, Melissa, like,
has had too many chances. Let's be honest.
No, I wasn't going to say too many chances.
I am. Say, like, I'm just going to throw that out there.
What is your secret to being so attractive that you have found love not once, not twice, but
yeah.
thrice? Like, how do you smell really good? Like, what?
I mean, look at her.
I'll be honest about that. Gorgeous. I smell good. with Chad, and with his name is Joe, and with Chad, and he's a very faithful listener. Loves you guys.
Hi, Joe.
Joe! Want to come tell your story? You're next.
I tried to get him. I may just pull him in. I wasn't looking for it with Chad. I was not 100% not looking for it with Joe. I really wasn't. You guys all know this. Once you lose somebody and you have your heart just trampled to the thought of opening it up again to somebody and is, oh, it's the most terrifying. But you guys, for me, gut-wrenching, because everybody I've ever loved with my entire heart, I have lost. I've lost.
I would feel abandonment issues severely because I also have not as many deaths, but like other leaving situations. How do you deal with that?
Again, this is where the whole EMDR thing came into play for me was, oh my gosh, first off, how can I have feelings for, but then I thought, well, how can I not? He's just as, and we're not this sad, sappy little couple sitting around. We have a ball together. We do. We laugh. We send each other memes all day. We have so, so much fun. He's, I was a former college basketball player. He's a former college football player. We both lost somebody. We are very respectful of each other's lives. And the life that they had before, like there's no zero, zero jealousy there. I'm going to let you guys on a little secret and he's going to die laughing when I tell you this. His wife is sitting in my office, upstairs in my office, in her urn with a family picture because he'll end up moving to my house when he's starting to move little things over when we get married.
Okay, wait. So now you're engaged.
So
wait a second.
Don't you guys like the stuff I bring?
She just keeps dropping things on us.
Here's my favorite thing and tragic thing that I love to watch people when I say, hey, we have this friend. And I just give bullet points of the facts of your story. Mm-hmm. And they don't even know like this part. And watching them react is
Insane. Composed.
And then, but like, they'll text me for 2 weeks, be like,
right,
are you okay? I'm like, no, yes,
right,
all of it.
Right. Well, this became Joe's big thing when he started talking about me to other people. So he would say, you know, I've met somebody and she's also lost somebody. And then he's like, wait, that's not the end of the story. Hold on. And he would keep going.
She's lost somebody else.
Yes. And he said, it almost got to the point where he did it to watch their mouth drop so they could go, what? And then they're like, no, are you serious? No. And then he loves to say, well, how do you think we're together? We just be together. Yeah, I mean, that, yes, it's become, it's not comical, you guys, but it's more the, how can you go on if you can't have some type of, I mean, if you cannot laugh at some of this, because if I'm not laughing, I'm gonna be crying.
It's ridiculous. You have to laugh or you're going to sink.
It's true. It's true. And so when my feelings started to come up, I'm like, oh my gosh, like, do I really, I feel this way, but should I, is this okay? Is when it finally hit me hard, like a ton of bricks. I need to clear all of the garbage. I've got to clear it. I can't go into another relationship having this trauma that I've always felt that I've dealt with so well. And I have. I'll preface that with, just because somebody is dealing with their trauma so well does not mean it's still not piling up like a ton of bricks, because this is what I'm learning about myself through this process. About 3 sessions ago is when we first started the actual EMDR process. Everybody goes in and they have this, let's get to know you, where we talk about all your trauma. And then she's going to piece it out and take it piece by piece. You guys, that one appointment took 3 for me, because one appointment did not cover it at all. And I would be like, I'm sorry, our hour's up. I'm not even close, sweetheart. Do you need to go call your therapist now?
Phase one. Yeah. Phase one, phase 2, and phase 3.
Yeah, we still got stuff to unpack here. So see you next week. Wow. And so it took 3 appointments just to get through everything that had happened to me. And then when we finally started the process, I was blown away by the things that came up that first time around. I mean, it really was very surprising, and I'm super open about it. I talk about it. One of the things that came out of it was, I felt like, and didn't know this growing up, my mom was pretty hard on me. And so I liked to do things as a total perfectionist. I like to make sure my hair's always put in place. I like to make sure I was the best basketball player out there. I always wanted to make sure my hair was in a cute bow. And we're talking in college basketball games. It's stuff like this, you guys, that, and it wasn't anything she did purpose. I think it was just, she was a victim of her own upbringing. And so she liked things to be just so. And that was the very first thing that came out, was I was constantly trying to people please all the time. That's been my mission forever, is I just want to make sure everybody around me is comfortable and everybody around me is okay. Yes.
I just want to jump in here because you had these 2 really public deaths and public mourning or grieving periods, I feel like that would be extra pertinent for here, because now you're trying to grieve perfectly too, because people are watching you.
Yes.
You know, so you can't actually grieve authentically sometimes, because you have to do it the right way, because people are watching and are part of it and have some sort of like stake in how you deal with it. So like, that's even, you know, for me, I felt that a little bit, but it had to be really heightened for somebody who's, you know, doing it in front of the whole sheriff's department, or doing it in front of cameras as people are wondering why you murdered your husband. And
right.
Like that. Okay. Sorry.
No, you're absolutely right. And she has been able to take, so my second appointment, you guys, I was sobbing so profusely. And for me to do that in front of somebody that I don't really know them, but I know that I'm comfortable enough with her and that she's professional enough. I started thinking of what happened to Scott that day. I started thinking about the position I was left in with a 7-week-old baby in my stomach and people scrutinizing me and people tearing me apart. And here I am with a dead husband, a baby on the way. And I started bawling my eyes out. And she stopped me and said, "You have never, ever grieved him." She's like, "You have never fully grieved that loss." She's like, "I don't think you felt like you had permission to."
How could you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I chalk some of my decision making in relationships. And again, you guys, the biggest reason I'm in therapy right now, I did not expect to feel anything for anybody. I shut all those emotions down. I didn't want to, but it's become so important to me now to unpack. And the way we analyze this whole thing is like, I'm a shell of a body and I've just piled brick after brick after brick into my shell of just crap that has affected me emotionally. Here's the kicker though. It's starting to affect me physically. And that's probably where I took it more serious. My neck and my shoulders are so jacked up from stress that I now have a membership to the chiropractor once a week. And I have to get a massage every other week. They can massage this out because it gets to the point where I can't move my neck anymore. And this is the way my body is finally kicking back and saying, "Melissa, get your together. You still have a body to take care of. You have not unpacked any of this stuff. You've allowed it to just compile itself and just keep on filling your body without ever unloading it." And so here I am, and I have zero regrets. I'm going to advocate this, shout it from the rooftops. It's doing wonders for me.
The body keeps the score, everyone.
The body does keep the score. And it is, I'm telling you, I've never had it manifest this badly to me that I had to do something.
Question. I actually know one of you for your friends because she gets a lymph drainage massage at the same time that I do. Did you know that?
No.
I have had a lot of stress in my life too, right? And so our bodies have stress responses. Cortisol is released and then it can wreak havoc. So I am familiar with this. I have weekly lymph drainage massages. Have to do like myofascial release. So I'm on the same train as you. And I've been trying to do that for several years, but it's like your body is what you have. And you have to take care of it. And it's, do you find that it's like an instrument that helps you to actually access your intuition better once you take care of it better?
I do feel that way. And I think I talked about this before as well, but I'm still on Zoloft. Never, if anything, I upped it after Chad died because I took the lowest dosage possible. I had them double it and I have zero qualms about that. I will tell anybody that asks. I don't, because you know what? All these little things that I'm doing, and in the beginning, it was just a function, are completely benefiting me, but they're also benefiting everybody around me too, that I have to come in contact with and my poor students. But really, you guys, when asked like how this is how I was led to therapy is actually meeting somebody and not wanting to subject him, I guess, is the best way to put this, to anything that might be left over from what I've already been through. He doesn't deserve that. And he has had his own grief too. And if the truth be known, you guys, we're both 2 years out. We're still going through a lot, but it's been such a blessing to do it together. Really has.
So I'm curious about your friends and your family and their response to a new relationship, because the first reaction might be like, Melissa is cursed. Why is she signing up for this again? Right. This is a bad idea.
And I could not even agree with you more right now. Yes. Again, this was one of those things that happened very, I want to say organically, even though I'm the one that, yes, it happened on its social media, but we actually saw each other. And I do feel like, and then actually got to know each other with a lot of conversations before we actually agreed to meet up again in person, which was a month later. We actually went to Disneyland, went on a date to Disneyland, because we both thought, like, what more of a fun, very, you know, no pressure environment. Let's just go to Disneyland. So that's what we did, to Disneyland. Now, as far as though answering your question, my boys had a very hard time, and their reasoning is 100% valid. And they said, Mom, we don't want to get close to anybody. We don't want to go through this again. And you guys, yeah, can you blame them? Because I'll be honest with you, I don't want to go through this again. I don't. And the thought of losing somebody again, I'll tell you, I mean, let's just, I don't even want to put that out there, because I just, oh, it makes me want to vomit. I can't do this again. But yes, my kids, they said, well, we're, you know, should we consider Chad's our dad, and Chad, you know, and I told them both, your feelings are completely valid. And I'm not going to tell you you're wrong in feeling this way. I'm not bringing somebody in to tell you this is your new dad. I've never done that anyway. I would never. That has to be an organic feeling between two people. And I don't get in the middle of that. So I told them, you guys need to remember, he also lost somebody. It's not just me. He lost somebody that he loved with all his heart as well. And he has two kids, 20 and 17. And then my two kids are 19 and 16. So they're all about the same age. You know, we have two up, his son and my son, our oldest, are all up in Utah. And then I have a son that's a junior in high school, and he has a daughter that's finishing out her senior year in Hawaii, because that's where his sister is. And she wanted to do that for her senior year of high school. And so it does leave a lot of freedom for us to be able to travel back and forth and do, you know, lots of fun things together. But it was not something that was easy to introduce. I will tell you that as time has gone on, though, they see that I'm kind of back to me, and that he does bring me a lot of happiness, and I bring him a lot of happiness as well. And we laugh a lot. We just laugh. We make fun of each other. He calls me tiny. I'm not, I feel like I'm normal. I'm an average size person. He calls me tiny. He is literally, you guys, twice my size in weight. He is twice my size. I think it's hilarious. I think it's funny. He can eat. I don't eat as much. And his culture has been a really fun culture to get to know. It is really fun.
So something that you just touched on that I want to delve into a little bit deeper is the idea that your kids can have a valid emotion or a valid response to something. And you can also have valid feelings towards something.
Yes.
And they can point you in the complete opposite directions. And both things can be true at once. That's one of the questions, or one of the conversations I feel like happens in the Widow Wives Club really often, is talking about, how do I get my kids on board with the idea of me being in a new relationship?
Right.
And there's a lot of conflict that goes into that. And it's really hard to be able to hold that they have valid feelings that might be opposite of our valid feelings, and to hold space for that, and to keep the conversation going as you kind of like wend your way through that really murky bog where there are no answers, and you just have to keep trying to put one foot in front of the other and talk with each other and try and help each other understand your positions, knowing that you're completely opposite in your feelings and that both of those feelings are valid. It's like, how? It's impossible.
It's hard because I wanted so badly for my kids to see the value of having Joe around, but I wanted that instantly. And I knew that wasn't going to happen because, again, we're all still mourning. Let's be honest. And this wasn't, it wasn't even part of any part of plan of mine. And there's no way. I mean, if somebody, if you had even told me even a year ago, I said, nope, not happening, not happening. But again, here we are, and you bringing up the point that their feelings are valid. And I think a lot of the time we as widowers, we do clash with our children because we want so badly for them to see where our heart is and our brain is and want them to feel the same thing. And they don't, because at their level of maturity, which I get, how can you expand your heart so much to, they haven't had children yet to know you can love more than one. They haven't had, you know, they have no idea. And so the thing is I allowed, and I said to him all the time, your feelings are valid. It was mostly Scotty, not Britton. Scotty's my oldest one. And I'll remind everyone, the one I was pregnant with when his dad was murdered, it was mostly him. And he just said, I don't even want to talk about this. I don't want. And so I would say, okay, that's fine. But I still went on doing the things I was doing, just not shoving it down his throat. Like, I am not going to stop living and stop because you feel this way. But at the same time, I'm also not going to tell you that you're not allowed to feel this way and that you're wrong, because just like you brought up, both of us have valid feelings. We do. And that's the part that I think so many people get so messed up in, thinking that their kids need to feel a certain way, or that this intended person that they're with needs to be more understanding of their children, or, and it, I do think it causes a lot of conflict. And you really do have to allow these kids to feel the way they're going to feel. And it's not an overnight thing. One thing I will tell you is my kids love him. That has come full circle. And I, as much as I've been able to be around his kids, I adore his kids. Been around his daughter many times, and we just got to go to Hawaii, and his son's around a lot, so I get to see him. And so we've also even put our sons together. You know, they're coming down next month. We're all going to go to Cardinals football game. I mean, there's things we're doing, but we're not forcing anybody to feel any certain way. We've just decided that we're going to go forward. We're going to live the best that we can, making sure that our children know they're still a priority. But that, as far as like happiness, it's hard to find. And when it's right there in front of you, it's hard to not want to be a part of it. It's really hard.
Yeah. That makes total sense.
It's like, you know how we always talk about duality? In these situations, you're living, that's another one of those things. It's like, you've learned to live with love and loss. You've learned to live with people accusing you of things and then people being the most supportive that they've ever been. And so much over time. And the thing, you can speak to this too if you want. One thing that I have noticed lately is, because of what I've gone through, it helps you to be more intentional with what I may want to have in a partner in time, if that happens. And so it's like, you know what you've lost, but then you get to that point because you have lost so much. So I love that you guys are being so, so honest and real with these things. And you're like, I can totally respect that you don't feel the same way, you know, right now at this point in time, like for your kids. But I'm not going to lose out on happiness because I need this. And so it's like duality in another form almost.
It is. And one thing I will tell you guys though, too, if everything had not lined up the way I felt was going to be beneficial for myself or my kids in the long run. I don't care how good looking of a Polynesian guy this is, and I don't care how sweet he was, and I don't care. It's not something I was going to be open to or bring into my life. My life's crazy. It still is. I mean, I just wrapped up another crime show from the first loss that's going to air in November. I mean, there's still like so much crazy. So honestly, if this had not felt like, you know what, this is a good situation. This is a really beautiful thing. And for me to not at least invite that into my life because I'm feeling all of these insecurities of the past and kids. I mean, I think that I would have been denying myself. I mean, another opportunity.
So are you going to add several chapters to the book?
There's the question. So that was actually that is where I have struggled the most in just now finally trying to wrap this up. Chad was supposed to be my happily ever after. He was. And here I am talking about somebody totally, 2 years later, lost. It's, you cannot make this stuff up. And that's one of the things that I'm having them help me with is, you know, how do you wrap up something? Because the whole point of this book in the first place was to be very authentic with all of the things I've gone through, but to not be Debbie Downer either. I don't want anybody to read this book and go, oh my gosh, that Martin, that is not what I want anybody to ever.
Maybe they'll send you money. Maybe it's a good thing.
I mean,
they'll be like,
knows?
Oh, she's so sad. Like,
who knows?
Send her a cake or something.
Who knows? No, but I do appreciate the unicorn onesie, and it has been on several times. And I do always mean to take a picture and send it to you, so I will.
Yes, I would love to see it. Yeah. When Melissa was widowed the recent time, sent her some things. So thanks to all those who donated. I love that you're choosing happiness. You have to. You live with this dark and this light, and you're one of the most, I hesitate to say it this way, you're one of the most positive people that I know. Now, the caveat to that is you have extreme loss and pain. And so when I say, and Melissa is such a positive person, it's earned. And like, that is like a rich hue of positivity, because there's so many times where I'm just like, how can I keep going on? And then every time you post something and it's just like, boom, I'm like, okay, she can keep going. So can I.
That makes me happy. I think I'm so open.
Yeah.
Because I also don't just post the good stuff. I do put a lot of stuff out there that's like, I'm talking a lot about this therapy out there. And because of it, I've had a lot of people message me, like, tell me more about this. Tell me what's going on with this. And so I do think it's opened up a dialogue there for some people that maybe have felt like, oh, Melissa's seeking therapy. I wonder if I should see, like, there's like no question I should have seen therapy a long time ago. But, you know, it is one of those things you have to be fully on board, and you have to be ready to let it all go, and you have to be truthful. Like, even the stuff you don't want to, you have to.
So I have a question. Something you said made me kind of think about Chad was your happily ever after.
Yeah.
And when we think about fairy tales and stories, we think of the hard thing and then we think of the happily ever after, right? And a lot of times in the widow business, the happily ever after is associated with a new relationship. Have you started to think that there might be a happily ever after that does not necessarily not include, but be defined by a relationship? You know, because Chad was your happily ever after and he's gone now. And
right.
So is it like, oh, let's seek another happily ever after, or let's seek a happily ever after in that's more than just a relationship?
Right. I love that you brought that up, because I do think that's where my mindset used to be. I do think that it used to be the let's move on. to the next person that can fill up my cup or whatever. When truthfully, you guys, there is no other human that can do that but us. And I think the thing that I learned, because I really worked on myself before Chad and I even met, because I had gotten to the point there that I didn't ever want to get married again. I mean, I just thought, I've already done this. I've tried it. It's traumatic. It doesn't work for me. And I mean, that's when I met Chad, and he really opened up my eyes to a really beautiful relationship. And after he died, I was at that place again where I thought, this is not what I need to be happy. Not at all. I just need to be happy with myself, happy in my surroundings, happy with what I'm doing in a career, and make sure I can look in the mirror and I'm good with myself. It is fun to have somebody there, but I don't think a happily ever after should necessarily involve another human. Because if they can add to your happiness, great. But I'm telling you, there's so much garbage, and we all know that. There's so much garbage out there, you guys, that if they're not going to add to any type of happiness, why? Why would you create your own happily ever after? Because you guys, I feel like that's what I've been doing.
She keeps moving forward.
You guys know, I don't sit still, constantly traveling, constantly on the move. And some of that, I will admit, was me running though. Running from things that I didn't want to sit in my feelings with. So I can admit that. It's been now, again, I would say just probably the last 6 months of me saying, I'm not going to run from any of this. I'm going to face it. And like I said, it doesn't have to be another human. It just so happens. And again, I don't know how I got lucky. I don't. But I don't want to push it away just for the mere fact that, oh my gosh, how is this going to look to everybody? Because again, fortunately, I don't care. Isn't that horrible?
No.
But it takes a lot to get there, you guys. It takes so much for me to say, I don't care what people think about me anymore. I just want to be a good human. I want people to hopefully feel a little better after talking to me or getting to know me. I hope they feel a little better from it. But I can't waste my time anymore caring if somebody thinks I murdered Scott, caring that I didn't love Chad enough. So here I am moving on in another relationship. I can't care about that anymore because, again, it's just robbing me of any type of happiness that hopefully I can have.
That is all you all need to know. And us. That's the secret to life.
That's my tech talk.
It's true. If you are willing to just be like, you know what, here I am. Here's me. Okay, you have a problem with me. Okay, you don't. Okay, whatever.
Yeah.
You are free.
Yeah.
You live in freedom.
I think it's an age thing. Getting up there, it's an age thing.
I would say age and also your huge life situation that happens over and over.
Experience. Yeah. I love, though, also you're still trying to be like a nice human too. Not a perfect human, making everybody happy, but trying to make the world a better place at the same time, not apologizing for what you need to do to bring happiness to your own life. So Melissa, you're the best. Like, I just hope every second of the day that nothing else bad happens.
Let's not make this a habit every three years. I'm just saying. We can't do it. We'll do an update in 2 years.
Yeah.
It should be short. Yeah. Everything's going great.
Yes.
And maybe Joe can talk to us another time and then we can
love that. You know, in all honesty, he probably would love talking about coming into a relationship with somebody that's been through so much.
Okay. Yeah. Schedule him.
I will. Because I do think there's another part of that, of people that come into, widowed or not, but come into these situations where they're like, oh my gosh, how do I deal with this? What do I do? But he's been great. It is just next month is my 20-year anniversary of Scott's murder on November 6th. And then the 2-year anniversary of Chad's death on November 10th.
You know, it was nice of them to like package it all together so you can
I appreciate
have like
them
one
doing
really
that in
emotional time of
one
the year.
week. I mean,
And then
yeah.
go through the holidays and then you can go back to Hawaii and
You know, I feel like
all kind of
Scott
fun.
and Chad, yes. We're like, I think we'll, yeah, we're going to do this all in the same week. She can cry it all out in 1 week and then go shopping. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know, but I can't imagine.
Oh, Melissa, thank you so much for giving us your really terrible update.
But also really great update.
Yes.
I know.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think
happy
a lot
and
of people.
The sad.
Yeah, I think a lot of people look forward to hearing from you and want to know about your story. So hopefully we've helped them. Mel, I don't even know. Do we ask second time guests about their cheese?
Did we even ask her the first time? I
don't
even know.
Remember.
We were probably so shocked that we couldn't. Do you have a favorite cheese, Melissa?
I had gorgonzola in my salad today.
Oh, great. That's the cheese of the day.
That's the answer.
Perfect.
It is. Very good. Yes.
Thanks so much for joining us today. We appreciate all of our listeners and we appreciate our guests. Make sure you check out the Widow Wives Club if you want to interact with Melissa. She's in there. She posts in there about her like wise
crazy
breakthroughs, crazy life. Just make sure you answer all the questions. If you want to join our Patreon to keep the podcast going, it's patreon.com/WWDN.
If you'd like to buy us tacos, go to buymeacoffee.com/widowwedonow.
And until we get to talk to you again, hopefully you don't have to talk to Melissa again. I'm Anita.
I'm Mel.
Oh, and I'm Melissa.
We're just two young widows and another young widow who has way too much experience. And we're all just trying to figure out widow.
We
do.
Now.
This is my favorite thing to discuss with you.
Tell me, what is it?
One of my favorite things. I do enjoy tacos and cheese and dogs. This is about how you cannot pay hundreds and hundreds of dollars for a phone plan, especially when you're a widow, your person is dead, you might have kids, you might need another option, and you just want your phone to work, you want unlimited texting and service, and you want it to be like $25 a month.
It blows my mind that they have plans that start at $15 a month. That is so cheap. And the cool thing is it uses other 5G networks, and so you don't have to pay extra for that, and you still get great service.
Yep. Anita and I have traveled all over, and I have used my phone. So I highly recommend it. And my mom's even on it. When my dad died, we put his phone down to the cheapest plan, which is $15 a month. And I think my mom's on the $20 a month plan, and it's so worth it. It's so much cheaper than what we were all paying before. So I highly recommend it if you're on a budget or not. Who cares? Ryan Reynolds is in charge of the company, and they send you free stickers with Ryan Reynolds temporary tattoos. It's kind of the best. So if somebody wants to sign up, what can they do, Anita?
Go to trymintmobile.com/WWDN. Seriously, you guys, such a great idea. Save yourself some money.
And if you're worried about losing data or having any changes with your phone, not going to happen. They walk you through it. Everything's fine. It's the easiest process of all time. Again, that's
trymintmobile.com/WWDN.